Amen.
Actually, during this time, Rachel and Hero, I didn't forget, I had asked them to also come forward. They are past recipients of Chinese UMC scholarships, and we wanted to have them just maybe say a few words about what it means to receive the scholarship in the past. As part of today's offering, if you are willing and have an open heart, we encourage you to also give to the scholarship fund. Just write scholarship fund on your check memo, because we want to be able to give many scholarships again away this year. So they're going to share a few words about scholarship fund.
So throughout the course of my undergraduate and graduate career, I received scholarships from church for 4 years, which has really helped in paying off a lot of my textbooks and miscellaneous tuitions that I had in undergrad. And the last time I received the scholarship was right before I entered graduate school, and I was able to pay off my first loan, so that helped out a lot. And so that has helped me to be able to finish school and get a job, and then Auntie Mabel was like, now you can donate back to the scholarship fund. So, okay.
Wow. She set the bar pretty high, yeah. I think I got the scholarship for 3, 4, 8, I don't know. But most of the money went towards like buying books and gas, all right? And right now, I mean, I don't have a job, so I cannot donate back. But I mean, yeah. Thank you and donate, all right, guys?
Thank you.
Congratulations again, guys. So now is the time for children's time. Everyone under the age of 18 can come forward. Auntie Gloria has a message for you.
Okay, so how many of you guys are on summer vacation? Yeah. What are you guys doing during break? Nothing. Is that fun? What are you doing? You're going to Canada? Wow. That's fun. Well, in summer vacation, it's really easy to have a lot of fun and relax, right? No homework, no waking up early. I'm on summer vacation too. And when I'm home and I have no homework and I have nothing to worry about, no meetings, it's really easy to forget to ask God for help and to thank God for helping me through each and every day, no matter how unproductive it was. So I'm going to share a verse with you guys that it's one of my favorite verses, and it's been with me for a long time, and it helps me remember that I should pray to God every day to thank Him for whatever happened that day and to ask Him to help me through whatever I'll be going through the next day. And it's from Philippians 4. I'm going to read verses 4 to 7, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, throughout the summer, even though you guys probably don't have very much to do, or if you have mommy summer school, you do, but just remember that God is always with you and you can always talk to Him. So let's practice that right now. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, we thank you for bringing us here this morning that we could just read a little bit of your scripture and to remember that we can bring everything to you. We can praise you in every situation and we can look to you for help and guidance through everything. Help us to remember this throughout our summer and help us to just continue to talking to you every day. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Gloria, for the good message. Now is the time for scripture to be read. I'd like to invite Jacob.
Today's scripture is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and it reads, "You were dead though through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of the world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly gates in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." This is the word of the Lord.
So I chose this morning's passage from Ephesians because I thought it was fitting for our college graduates especially, or all the graduates today. I love how this morning's passage from Ephesians ends with verse 10 saying, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." I thought it was important for the graduates to remember that, yes, you are what God has made you, created for a special plan and purpose, and to have a way of life before Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving God and Creator, I just ask that the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, that you use them to share your message, that you hear the meditations of our hearts. Let them be open. Let them be willing to hear your word, Lord, to know that you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So this morning's passage from Ephesians is an interesting chapter and verses. It's when Paul is writing to the people of Ephesus, and he's reminding them about needing to be united. But he's also doing three things. He's reminding the people of Ephesus of their humanness, of their humankind, and their ability to not be perfect. He's also reminding them that they need to focus on God, because during this time, during Ephesus, as the church was new and being built, the people were not being united. They were always disagreeing about how to do certain things, about what rules they should follow, about who would be the leaders. The church began to get bogged down in all those things. And lastly, Paul, in his message to them in Ephesians, is reminding the people of Ephesus the most important thing of all, that the only right answer and the only right way of life is through salvation through Jesus Christ. So as Paul is trying to do these three things, remind the people of their humanness and their failure as humans, to remind them of God, putting God first and foremost, and remembering God is our creator, and then thirdly, to remind them of salvation through Jesus Christ, Paul is doing this in this wonderful kind of well-worded passage to them that we have from this morning's passage. And as I was doing some research on Ephesians chapter 2, I came across one minister's explanation of it, and I thought it was perfect. There's a minister, Reverend Bob Divendale from Texas, and he talks about in Texas there's a lot of semi-trucks. And we know in California there's always semi-trucks as well. When Phil and I drive somewhere on the 60 freeway or the 605 freeway, we always feel like we're surrounded by trucks all around us. So this minister in Texas, as he's driving one day, he's behind a large demolition truck. And he's noticing the demolition truck has two bumper stickers on it. One bumper sticker says in large letters, "We could wreck the world," which is fitting, right? A slogan for a demolition company truck. We could wreck the world. But then on the other side, there's another bumper sticker on the back of this truck, and it says, "Jesus saves the world." What an interesting and neat contrast. The human beings, this demolition truck slogan says, we could wreck the world. But the person has, and he's not sure because he's the minister and he doesn't know who's driving the truck in front of him, they put on the other side the sticker that says, Jesus saves the world. So in this morning's passage, we do get a contrast of that as well, where Paul is reminding the people in the very first few verses about the humankind and how humans, yes, do wreck the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, he starts off by saying to humans, you were dead through trespasses and sins. He's going straight to the point. He's telling the humans, they have sinned and their sin has made them dead. Their trespasses, their wrongdoings, their wrong thoughts and deeds and actions have made them dead. And he says in verse 2, and once you lived following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. Reminding the people of Ephesus, and even us today, we need to think about how we do our lives, who we follow. Do we worship the almighty dollar? Do we worry more about certain materialistic things? Are we led by disobedience? Paul then closes in verse 3 saying, all of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. He uses all these words to describe the wrongdoings of these people who are following, they say, flesh, worrying more about all the food they can fill their stomachs with, all the wonderful pleasures of the flesh they can enjoy, and forgetting about God and the church. These are the people who said they cried when Jesus died, that they celebrated when Jesus was resurrected, and they began to form this new church with Paul and the other apostles. But yet here they are, not being church. And Paul is reminding them right off that they are doing wrong. They are having their human kindness. They are being imperfect as humans are. Paul is reminding them that we are a fallen mankind, reminding them that they are a fallen mankind, and it is a hopeless condition because of this sin. But yet he doesn't leave with that. He goes on to remind them that maybe things aren't quite so hopeless, because he goes on to say in verses 4 to 6 that there is hope, and the hope is first found in God, and that is what the focus must be on. But yes, first you must realize your own human faults and where you have gone wrong and when you have failed God and when you have forgotten to worship the Lord. I ask you to think about your own lives, and when was the last time you prayed outside of Sunday church? When was the last time you read scripture outside of Sunday school or Bible study? We want to do these things daily to be in love with the Lord and still continue to be faithful. Because if we don't, then yes, we can fall into a world of sin and trespasses, and we can be led by the wrong spirit of disobedience. So after we look at our lives honestly and see what we have done right or wrong, we must then recognize who is the person that always does right. Who is the person always has the answers in our lives? And that is God. We must then focus on God, because God gives us his grace and God gives us his mercy. He gives us salvation through Jesus Christ. Verses 4 through 6 of Ephesians reads that God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated with us in him in the heavenly place of Christ Jesus. It's so wonderful that, yes, Paul is pointing out in the beginning of this morning's passage all the wrongdoings about the sins and the trespasses and people being led by the spirit of disobedience. But he says, don't lose hope, because even though humankind has failed, God has not failed. God will never fail. God is full of mercy and God is full of love. God makes us alive. He brings us up out of our failures and puts us with Christ, who saves us through his death. It's reminding of a passage, the Ecclesiastics, and I've especially been thinking about it lately with what's been happening with the life of our church. We know we have church members who have lost loved ones, and especially hearing about Joseph Wong's passing yesterday. Our church itself is in a deficit. We'll have later a financial campaign where we will share that even with this first quarter, the January, February, and March months, we hit a $20,000 plus deficit. And it's predicted that if we continue this way, our church at the end of the year will be $60,000 plus in a deficit. So we have financial worries and burdens to worry about. We hear about sad news of people, loved ones passing, longtime faithful disciples of the church. And then we also turn on our TVs and read the newspapers and hear what is going on in the world as well, about racism happening, about people being abused, about murders happening, about world wars happening. All these things that are human-made, all these things that are happening. So we must remember the contrast of the bumper stickers, "We could wreck the world," with the contrast of "Jesus saves lives." So this past week, especially since Thursday, I've been thinking about the passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is the one that everyone knows. It's even made into songs, and people can quote it often. "For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance." It's a beautiful passage. We have it in song that I'm sure we can sing the hymn of. We know it's a passage that is often quoted. But I think it's a fitting passage this morning as we talk about what's been happening in our lives and look at the passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesians as well. Because we know that Paul is reminding the people that humankind has failed, but God does not fail. So when we look at the Ecclesiastes passage, we know where God is and where humans are. For the passage says, "For everything there is a season and a time for a matter under heaven," to remind us that God is our creator and we are under the Lord's heaven. "A time to be born, for that is what God has done for us. He created us. He birthed us. We are alive because of God. And a time to die. When we die physically, it is a human thing to die and leave our body. A time to plant. God plants. He puts gifts in each and every one of us, and he plants faith in our hearts so that we can go out and spread the good news. A time to pluck up what is planted. That is a human action, to take away what God has planted, to destroy the faith that God has given us, to fall short of what God has called us to do. A time to kill, we know that is also a human action, for it is humans who kill each other. It is humans can kill the spirit of another human, and it is a human can take away things from another human being, a brother from a sister, a loved one from each other. But then it also is a time to heal, for we know that God heals us. God is in our lives and takes care of us and comforts us and heals us. A time to break down. How often have we as humans failed each other to break down a system? For even the church sometimes gets broken down because of human action. But there is also a time to build up. For God builds us up, strengthens us, and girds us. Just as you know that for the past few weeks we've had these scaffolding all around supporting the painters as they've been doing the work around the church. God also builds us up in a way, puts us on scaffolds so that we can reach our goals that he has planned for us. And Ecclesiastes verse 4 ends with a time to weep. We weep human tears for those we have lost. We weep human tears for pain that we receive. And we weep human tears for times when we feel lost ourselves. But God reminds us because he also puts laughter in our hearts where we can celebrate each other. And in the future, I hope we will share with Angela wonderful stories of her father to be able to laugh with her again. A time to mourn that we come together as humans and remember each other and mourn the things that have come. But also, lastly, a time to dance. For we are called by God to dance with each other, to dance with Jesus Christ as he walked to the cross. We remember this great sacrifice that he did, but we dance with joy because we remember what the sacrifice meant, a gift of life for our salvation, of eternal life with God, our Creator. So then when Paul goes on and closes Ephesians chapter 2 with verses 7 to 10, he then shifts this focus, remembering the contrast of humankind and what we have done. When we have plucked up things, but God who is there who plants things again. When we have destroyed things, but God is there to build up things. So then Paul reminds them, closing, that not just focusing on the failures of humankind, but focus also on God who does so many wonderful things and is in charge of all things. And then finally focus on Christ, who is our way to salvation. He's telling the people in verse 7 through 10 that in the ages to come, he might show their immeasurable riches of his grace. God might show his immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by God's grace, you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we have made what we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for works, which God prepared beforehand for our way of life. So we are reminded that it is God who is in charge because he has given us Jesus Christ. The grace we receive from Jesus Christ saves us, brings us up, plants us up, builds us up, does all these amazing things so that we are no longer weeping, we are no longer tearing each other down, and we are no longer suffering. But we are dancing instead. This is all part of the gift of God given to us by the grace of God. And Paul is reminding the people of this, that not to rely just on their works and not to be boastful, but to remember where everything came from. So even the graduates, when you look at statistics, and I looked up some statistics recently, and I don't want to get hero down, but here they are. It says, currently there are 15% less jobs available than there were 10 years ago. That normally before it would have taken a graduate 3 to 6 months to find a job, now it takes 15 to 18 months to find a job. That you'll go through how before it used to be most people did maybe 1 or 2 careers in their life or jobs in their life, but now the average is 5 jobs or 5 careers for a young person. And then also that the young person now today, college students experience the most loans and debts that they have in the past. That's why scholarships are good, right? Church scholarships. But we hear all these things and we don't want to discourage our graduates especially, but always have faith even amongst these low statistics for college graduates or low statistics for what's happening in education or low statistics for what's happening in politics and things like that, that even amongst all these human-made mankind problems, that our problems are nothing in compared to our problem if we don't have Christ in our life. It is nothing into our problem that we will have if we don't believe that God is our creator and our maker, and all the plans that we have in our life are only because of God. They are his plans. And all these things would not be a problem if we didn't have Jesus Christ in our life. So we must remember to always have faith and hope, to remember to be celebratory and to dance and to have joy, because Jesus Christ is in our life, in our way for salvation. For that's how Paul closes with verse 10. For we are what he has made us. We are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So if you follow a faithful life, the path of discipleship, to do as Jesus Christ did, then we will be celebrating how God has created us and receiving the gift of salvation. Let us pray.